Welcome to this Farming and Water Scotland podcast. My name is Seamus Murphy.
This episode is a bit of an introduction to what Farming and Water Scotland is all about and where you can usually find us at shows and events throughout Scotland, as well as on our website and Facebook and Twitter. Pete speaks to three people who have been involved in Farming and Water Scotland for many years now. Rebecca Audsley, who leads up Farming and Water Scotland within SAC Consulting. Alexander Peary, who's an agricultural consultant who has been to many shows around Scotland supporting Farming and Water Scotland from the agricultural consultancy side of things. And Wal Drybra, who's a part of SEPA's National Rural Unit and has been to many, many shows over the years representing SEPA for Farming and Water Scotland. Don't forget to like, share and subscribe to the podcast and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We hope you enjoy the podcast.
Today, we're going to talk about just what exactly Farming and Water Scotland is, what it's about, some of the successes, some of the challenges that we've had about it, and also where we're going to think about going in the future. So we've got a crack team of Farming and Water Scotland around the table today. So I'm just going to quickly go around and ask them to introduce themselves, what their role is in their day-to-day life and how they kind of fit into the Farming and Water Scotland family. So I'm going to start with Rebecca. Rebecca Audsley, how are you?
Hi, I'm very well. Thanks, Pete. Rebecca Audsley, SAC Consulting, and I look after the Farming and Water Scotland programme within SAC.
Very good. Wal Drybra.
Yeah, I've been working with Farming and Water Scotland really since its inception. It's sort of going around the various shows that we attend and just manning the stand. And it's quite interesting to you get a different reaction when you're not wearing a SEPA outfit.
And also we've got another representative from SAC here today. We've got Alexander Peary.
Hi, Pete. Thanks very much for having us on. I'm a general consultant working out of SAC Auchincruib's office here in Ayrshire. And my involvement with Farming and Water Scotland is really as a link between the clients that we have and the specialists and technical advice that we can provide.
Great. So a wide range of expertise and involvement. Why was Farming and Water Scotland conceived? What was the reason behind it, and what were the challenges about getting it up and running in the first place?
Yeah, Farming and Water Scotland is now a partnership project, really, between SAC Consulting and SEPA, and it's funded by the Scottish Government. When you start to look back at where we've come from, I suppose you could probably a sensible starting point would be introduction of regulations in 2008 that related to on-farm practices to do with diffuse pollution and the reduction of diffuse pollution risk. We wanted to be able to let farmers know about some of these regulations and also, you know, how they could actually benefit the farm business by complying with these regs. We started off with a website, so we had some information in about, I think this is going back to 2013, we started off with the Farming and Water Scotland website where we had loads of info about how to reduce the risk of diffuse pollution, some of the benefits for the farm business. And we were speaking to farmers and we were sort of asking, well, you know, what do you need? How can we help? What do you want? And they basically said to us, look, you know, we just want to know the rules. Just tell us what the rules are and we will make sure that we comply. So 2014, that's when the Know the Rules booklet and Mind the Gap tractor sticker were born. Yeah. So yeah, it was just really to condense some of the regulations and just make them in a really easy kind of format to pick up as to exactly what you needed to do. And our tractor sticker obviously had the minimum distances when you were working next to watercourses. So it was a really handy thing. You could pop in the tractor cab and just refer to that and just like a little aid memoir so you knew what distances to keep depending on what you were doing around watercourses. Yeah. So we had those two things and we had our web pages. In 2016, though, we kind of looked at how do we get these messages? How do we kind of interact, I suppose, and speak to more people, find out what some of the issues are, find out how we can help, and also to speak about some of the other practical stuff that other farmers and land managers had done to reduce diffuse pollution risks. in discussion with Scottish Government, they basically said, you know, we want you to get out there. And we developed the shows programme. So we developed a whole range of kit and a tent and all sorts of sort of demonstration equipment, I suppose, that we took round a whole range of agricultural shows and events in 2016. I think in 2016, we went round about 40 different shows and events and spoke to farmers, land managers, people just having a day out at an agricultural show, and showed them some of the solutions and some of the ideas that other farmers had put in place and how they could maybe adapt those so as they were suitable for their farm at home.
We'll talk a lot more about the shows a little bit later on, because I think that is something which has certainly developed over the last few years. And I know Wool is a massive fan of going to the shows, and certainly will talk up about how successful they've been. And I've been on some shows with Alexander as well, and he's survived to tell the tale. But what I like to pick up on there is something I'm just going to ask Wool a question. This is completely different the way TASEPA used to work. I mean, I'm gonna embarrass you now, Wool. And how long have you worked for SEPA?
I've worked for SEPA since the day it came out to be in the 1st of April 1996. And prior to that, I worked for the Tweed River Purification Board. So I've just over 30 years regulatory experience now.
So fair to say you've seen your comings and goings of rules and regulations. How does it compare to a normal way that rules and regulations are rolled out? Because Rebecca touched on there the way that the guidance is written so that farmers can actually understand it and it's easy to read and the guidance is there for them to pick up on it and ask questions about. How's Farming and Water Scotland help the sector kind of understand the rules? What do you reckon?
It's just with all the merchandise and all the tractor cab sticker was hugely popular with farmers. They really thought that was a great idea. And just having the merchandise and just being able to explain to farmers why they need to do it. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, possibly before when we brought in legislation that is impinging on agriculture, they possibly just don't understand why we're doing it.
Yeah.
Because it's some obscure scientific reason. For example, the groundwater regulations, when they came into being in 1998, that was a very steep learning curve for farmers to have to do. But with this, obviously, with our one-to-one interaction that we're having with farmers, being able to give them merchandise, being able to give them notebooks, know the rules books, tractor cab stickers, it helps to reinforce it in their mind.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, you're there on a one-on-one advisory basis on the initial visit, just to say, well, you're doing this, but maybe you need to look at the website, look at the Farm Water Scotland website. There's some good examples of things you can do there. Or I can give them the technical guidance notes that have been produced on behalf of Farm Water Scotland on how to get alternative watering, for example, how to create an alternative watering point. So these sort of things are really useful, whereas before we didn't really have anything like that.
No, it's a massive tool in our work now, isn't it? The resources that are available for Farming and Water Scotland, and all of our team use it, and we certainly spread it across the rest of SEPA as well. Alex, I mean, when it comes to your consultancy side of the work, how's Farming and Water Scotland, the materials that have been produced, helped you?
So, yeah, I would say that as a consultancy, we have an opportunity to build a long-time relationship with farmers and landowners that perhaps a regulatory body doesn't have. Mm. So we kind of have a door into each individual business. I've been really encouraged by the pace of uptake in environmental measures. Climate change is a really big deal now. The level of uptake from the agricultural community. And I think that people are proactive and they are looking for answers relating to how they manage the water environment now. But yeah, I think we're an important link.
Yeah. Definitely. We get all sorts of positive comments about the material that's been produced, but it's always evolving as well. So one of the outcomes is to make sure that Farming and Water Scotland stays relevant, because one of the problems with quite a lot of guidance is almost as soon as it's published, it goes out of date. So where can someone go to get up-to-date information, and how is that information updated to make sure that it is correct, relevant, and appropriate for the audience?
Yeah, we've got various bits and pieces on our web pages, so people can have a look at that. We've also got social media accounts, our Twitter and our Facebook pages. You know, we'll post things on there to keep people informed. But we have the Know the Rules guides on the Farming and Water Scotland web pages. And because they're online, that really gives us flexibility in terms of we're able to go in and update them. And we're currently working on adding in a couple of new chapters. So we'll be looking at providing a bit of straightforward guidance on working in and around watercourses, and also other sort of organic fertilizers that you might be using on farm. So it's really great that we've got that flexibility with the web pages, and we're able to add in new information as it becomes apparent. I think what we are going to be working towards is an update for the Know the Rules booklet, and adding in those two new chapters as well. So it just keeps that information relevant and all the bits and pieces together that could be useful for farmers and land managers that are working in and around watercourses, or how you manage slurries and manures, fertilizers, pesticides, that kind of stuff.
One of the things that I think has certainly had the biggest success when it comes to promoting Farming and Water Scotland, like we've all said, is the attendance to the shows. So just going to go through a few of your experiences, really, at the kind of shows you've been to, maybe some of the takeaway stories from some of these places you've been to, and also just whereabouts we go and cover. We say we cover the whole of Scotland. I mean, we do cover the whole of Scotland. I don't think there's an area within Scotland that Farming and Water Scotland, little tent or big tent in some circumstances, has popped up. So, Wolf, where have you been?
Well, I tend to be more in the southeast area, but I think the furthest up we've been is Brechin for the Angus show. We've also done the Scottish Smallholders Festival for Mart. I've been to the Dunblane show. I haven't personally been to the Fife show. We have done the Fife show in the past. AgriScot is far, far away the best show that we do. Mm-hmm. It's far and away the busiest show. We get a lot of interest there. It's a technical show, so people are there to learn stuff. We tend to be inundated in that show.
We wanted to go everywhere. We wanted to cover quite a lot of Scotland and take this information out to farmers and land managers. When we were sort of looking at the shows and events programmes, there are so many agricultural shows, local shows across Scotland. I think one sort of summer, we had maybe about 80 to 90 different agricultural shows that we could have gone to. So we had to prioritise where we were going to go. We wanted to make sure that we were going into priority catchment areas where farmers and land managers were getting routine inspections as part of the priority catchment process, and be able to offer help and support and ideas about what they could do to keep on the right side of the regulations and reduce diffuse pollution risk.
Yeah, there's over 50 priority, what we deem as being diffuse pollution priority catchments around Scotland. So we do tend to focus on them more because we're trying to get information out to farmers within those priority catchments, but they have national rules. So it's not to say that we can't take them to the Western Isles where there's no priority catchment, because there still could be information which is valid and useful to the farming community there.
Yeah, we've definitely covered. We've been all over Scotland, basically, from Shetland, Orkney, some of the outer islands down to Castle Douglas, all over Scotland. But I think it's what we found useful is making sure that we can be, you know, kind of have a presence in priority catchment areas. Then if farmers are not sure, they know they're getting an inspection or something coming up, and if they're not sure about some of these things, they can always come and have a chat with us and, you know, kind of talk about some of the things that might be looked at, I suppose, on a priority catchment inspection.
Yeah, because the priority catchments were basically SEPA's priority catchments identified because they had an issue which we could directly relate to a water quality problems which were the biggest signpost was it was going towards issues relating to land management use, and in these areas, quite a lot of the area was farmed area. So we had to work using these stands and using the tools that Farming Water Scotland did help us get in and explain the issues to the stakeholders in those catchments. And the biggest issue really is diffuse pollution. And for someone who's a regulator or a consultant, it's just a set of words that flow off the tongue quite easily. But getting to explain what diffuse pollution is to an agricultural audience, Farming Water Scotland really helped with that. You know, getting that message across that diffuse pollution is basically individually minor problems on a farm which have a significant impact on water quality. So for example, a area which has got compacted soils or a cattle watering location by itself might not have a massive impact on water quality, but multiply that across the catchment and then across farms and across the catchment, the whole overall impact that those small minor issues have can result in a reduced water quality. So the information that we gave out and the discussions we had at those sites, especially in the priority catchment visits and the priority catchment shows, really made it relevant for the farmers and help them understand it. And like Becca just said, then gives them that little bit of information before they get a visit from SEPA, or they may have had a visit from SEPA, kind of got a bit bombarded or a bit like, oh my life, what's going on in regards to the information or the things I've been told to fix. And then rather than going back directly to SEPA, they may want to come to Farming Water Scotland first, just to get that bit more of an idea about what did he mean by, you know, runoff, source, pathway, receptor, all those kind of buzzwords that we use on a day-to-day basis. And having the stand on one of these shows in a priority catchment really helped there break down that barrier.
And I think also, Pete, it's common issues. So like you say, it's these small things that individually, not really a problem, but it's when you look at them cumulatively. Yeah. And also it'll be a similar issue for a number of farms in the catchment. So it's not like one individual's on their own. Mm-hmm. There are things that we can do, things that are cost effective, and measures that can be considered and adapted for the individual farm to just sort of reduce that pressure really and reduce that diffuse pollution risk.
Yeah, definitely. What kind of conversations are you having? Compare one of the smaller shows to some of the larger county shows and that kind of stuff. What does the conversation change? Is the same kind of interest? Are people picking up on different things? Are some more, not that it's a bad thing, but more of a social occasion than it is a technical occasion? So how do the shows differ and how do you use the resources that Farming and Water Scotland have got to make sure that it's appropriate for the people you're talking to?
Yeah, there are social events for the farmers, and to an extent, you're actually on their territory. So I think you do get accepted a little bit more because you've actually come onto their patch, if you like. It just depends on the area that we're working in. If I'm going to be at a show that I know there's going to be a lot of livestock there, we tend to take more of the alternative watering equipment. If we're in an area that's more extensively arable, or if it's an arable type show, such as, you know, Cereal Scotland or Potatoes in Practice, we tend to more focus it towards the arable side. So it's more about pesticide management, it's more about soils management. So we tend to do that. But yeah, it varies. I mean, it can be a tiny little show with maybe just 200 or 300 people there, or it could be AgriScot where you have 17,000 people there.
That's one of the beauties of it, I think, in that you have you're kind of neutral in terms of being Farming and Water Scotland, and we have been really welcomed actually all over Scotland by show committees and people at the actual agricultural show. You know, they're interested to know who you are. You can see them looking at you quizzically because they see this Farming and Water Scotland branded tent, and they're like, "Okay, who are you then?" You know, and they'll come in, they'll have a chat, and I think one of the beauties of it is that you do have somebody from SEPA there who are very up to speed on all the regulations and know exactly what's okay to do and what's not okay to do. And then you have somebody from SAC Consulting, and between you can navigate a path for somebody in terms of, well, that would be acceptable, but actually maybe you need to think about tweaking that idea, looking at changing something to make sure that you comply with these regulations and don't cause pollution.
Yeah. I think that's where Alex can probably help us out a little bit here is how you go about doing that negotiation because I mean, like Rebecca said, SEPA are there really as the kind of the regulatory assistance when it comes to Farming and Water Scotland. But the great thing with having SAC consultant on board is the fact that you've got that working knowledge of the farm business. Sometimes some of these people have been clients for generations, not just years. So how do you use that as a tool to help sell the message when you're on a, let's say you're at a stand, someone comes up to you and you've got a question about a pollution incident or an environmental challenge they've got. How would you go about using the tools of this, of Farming and Water Scotland to get that message across and get a successful outcome for the business?
So the first thing I would say there is that I'm sure yourself and Will could talk circles around me when it comes to regulation, but you're right. Understanding regulation is obviously really important, but the implementation of practical advice at a farm level and understanding what the broader implications of that are going to be is really important. So farmers need to have the confidence that when they're speaking to somebody and they're getting advice, that they have the best interests of the kind of wider, broader whole farm kind of approach to it. When I'm distributing advice through Farming and Water Scotland, it's very much a case of signposting to best practice, putting people in touch with others who have worked on similar projects before, distributing and kind of knowledge exchange. And that ability to have a kind of follow-up discussion. I mentioned at the very start there that having a relationship with farmers and landowners is really important. I don't think that that should stop at the end of the day when the show is packing up. Mm-hmm. And that's what we can kind of bring to it.
Yeah, definitely. Because like Will was saying, you know, we might have as much as we like the interaction with the farmers, we could have 1,500 farm visits a year amongst the team, and there's no way that we can get that working knowledge that you've got with the farmers, and it gives us quite a open door to come and have a chat with people, which is really, really useful.
The great thing about being on the stand with someone like yourself as well, Pete, is that quite often when people come into the tent, they notice who it is, and they know that they want to have a conversation with their consultant. Water might not necessarily be what's on their mind when they originally approach you, mm-hmm. but if you've got something like a PAPA pump or some solar panels there, and you've got the ability to talk about alternative watering or creating riparian buffer strips or whatever it is, then you've put an idea in their head that they can go away and kind of think about themselves.
Yeah, it does make a big difference. That makes the task a little bit easier. Rebecca, you touched on just a moment ago some of the kind of additional help that we can get in from outside of our two organisations or even within our own organisations ourselves as guest speakers. How's that worked on the stand and how's that gone down? And is that something that kind of was already in the plan, or was that something that just kind of grew embryotically? How did that work out?
Yes, it did grow a little bit. We just wanted to make ourselves and the Farming and Water Scotland stand really relevant, depending on what particular shows that we were going to. So, for example, if it was something that had a much more of an arable focus, we could maybe do some kind of show and tell with some soil, some spits of soil. So we'd have like a really compacted spit of soil and a really kind of nice looking example of some good farm soils on the stand, and a specialist in sort of just talking about those and talking about some of the soil management practices, mm-hmm. and some of the ways that you can, for example, identify if you had compaction on your farm, and some of the ways that you might initially identify that, and then what you would potentially kind of look at doing to remediate it. So we have a great document, the Valuing Your Soils brochure, which is a real nice color glossy kind of A4 thing with some information about how you would do a visual evaluation of soil structure, you know, the VES guide. Mm-hmm. So we could talk people through that. Again, that was really useful. One thing we found, you know, it's not just agricultural shows. We'll be going to farm events, you know, and on-farm meetings. And it's really interesting, you know, if you dig a hole, you know, dig a soil pit and just have a look in there. One thing we have found that it seems to be kind of human nature that if you dig a hole, people will go and look in it. And it's just amazing, you know, just have a look at what's under your feet, yeah. Get a spade, go and have a dig and see what's happening under the ground and see what conditions your soils are really
Definitely.
In.
I think that's where people can probably be a bit surprised about what Farming and Water Scotland's about. It's the way that we can deliver those improvements to the farm, as well as getting the benefits through environmental compliance. And I mean, we're going to talk a little bit now about some of the experience we've had at some of the shows and some of the stories that we've got. But one of the thing that kind of hit at home for me was I was at an event, but I was actually given a spade by a farmer. He no longer needed it. I don't know, maybe he was buying a new one, maybe there's an offer on at the show, whatever it was. But he gave me a spade and said, "Do you know what one of these is?" Obviously, he knew I worked for SEPA and probably having a bit of a joke with me. And he said, "Do you know what they need?" I said, "Yeah, it's a spade." He said, "Dig a hole, get your hands dirty." And ever since then, every farm I go to, whenever I'm doing a one-to-one farm inspection, I take a spade with me. And this is something I've learned through Farming and Water Scotland, speaking to the farmers, is the appreciation that it's something to talk about. It's a way in, it's a route into a conversation with a farm. So every farm I go to now, I have a chat with them about the soil quality and the soil health, dig out the value in your soils document, go through the visual assessment of soils document and say, "This is what I'm going to do with you today." Some of them know it. Some of them have never seen it. Some of them laugh at the fact that a SEPA officer is digging a spit of soil out of on this farm. But it's all come back from a conversation I had at one of these shows and helps me visualize the farmer's issues a little bit more rather than it just being a regulatory issue. I certainly see it now as a business issue and a day-to-day farming activity issue as well. So that's something that I've learned from my time on the stand. Well, I know you're...
I think, Pete, just to interrupt, I think it's all about practical stuff, isn't it?
Definitely.
So it's about really practical stuff that you can kind of think about how you would adapt that for your farm at home, and having the guys on the Farming and Water Scotland stand, there's just so much experience there, and you can relay kind of certain visits that you've had and certain kind of practices that others have done, and farmers will always just go away and modify that and just make it work for their farm at home. Definitely. So it's just really good to be able to have those conversations and learn as well, learn from other farmers coming onto the stand and hear what they think about stuff and what they've done that really works, or what they'd done and wish they'd done differently.
Yeah, that's a really important thing, isn't it? The ability to learn from other people's attempts and fine tune it for your own farm. We're never going to say we've got the answer for everything, but we've certainly got a good amount of practical knowledge and experience to point people in the right direction. Well, I know you're a man who likes to have a chat. I'm sure you'll be the first person to say that. So what kind of discussions have you got into on some of these stands or some of these events or even on farms?
Yeah, well, it's always a conversation point when you've got, say, a pasture pump or a papa pump sitting on the... If you've got a pasture pump, if you're lucky enough to have it connected up to a water tank, so they can actually work it in situ and get it pumping water. Because they see how easy it is, and they sort of say, "Well, you know, that's a really good idea. Where would I get these? Is this new?" And I said, "Well, no, it's old technology. It's probably 50, 60, 70-year-old technology, but it's just been updated a little bit for now." And the Papa pump is basically a hydraulic ram, which goes back to Victorian times. Mm. But it's just been upgraded to that. And if you've got a working example, you can sort of say to people, "Well, this is what you would use in this situation." I said, "I've got a Papa pump down in the Borders that pumps water up from an 8-metre head. It pumps it up 65 metres and a kilometre away." And they, "What?" Mm. I said, "Yeah, and if you've got a bigger head, you can pump it higher." And so that it's a good way of getting the conversation going. And you do get a debate going sometimes, because sometimes a farmer will say, "I've tried that, it didn't work." And I said, well, why didn't it work? And then you sort of say, well, you know, this and the next thing. And it's all useful information for us that if a farmer has tried to use something and it didn't work because of A or B or C, yeah, then that's something we can take back to the manufacturers, to anyone who's designing a system that's going in and saying, well, look, this guy has said this happened the last time. What can we do to counteract that?
Yeah.
But yeah, you do end up having a lot of interesting chats. Soil is always an interesting topic. If you're in an area where there's, you know, there's a lot of a big arable area, I mean, the farmers know they've got problems with their soil, but they maybe don't know some of the solutions to actually getting the best out of their soil and making sure that they're not losing it to the water environment. So that, you know, there's a win-win there, because you've got it's we're both winning in that. See, if they're going to make their land more productive, more easier to work, and if you're reducing the amount of diffuse pollution that's coming off, then that's a real wedge in that you can use to actually facilitate discussion, but also to facilitate real improvements as well.
Definitely, yeah, definitely. Great examples of the kind of the way that it's used as a way to open the door and on different conversations. One of the things we talked about prior to this podcast is how this work fits in with some of the other work you do, especially surrounding things like natural capital and those kind of added value issues when it comes to farming business. You know, if you've got maybe just a little bit of a word about how this can all fit together and what resource farming and Water Scotland can play in that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So a lot of the work that I do out of the office here revolves around the farm environment. I do a lot of conservation and quite a bit of climate change work. And the one story that did come to mind as I was listening to Will speak there was in the past year, we've been involved in an agri-environment plan with a farm, a strategy to improve the water environment. They have quite a significant water body that runs adjacent to their farm. And we ended up putting in alternative watering, which we've already touched on. And we've also created and fenced off water margins to protect the top of banks and to limit livestock contamination and poaching. And what I really enjoyed about that, and what I hope the client also got out of it, was this idea that good practice will also benefit your performance. The real driving factor behind putting in the alternative watering, for example, was not necessarily initially to benefit the water environment, but was more aimed at providing a resource for livestock and improving livestock performance. Rebecca touched on soil compaction. Again, that's something that's hugely important to a lot of farmers, but it's not immediately obvious that by tackling soil compaction, you'll be benefiting the water environment. So it's about making that link and really emphasizing the idea that, you know, what's good for the water environment is also good for overall farm performance.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I think that can kind of be replicated on a lot of the issues that we touch on. And I think that's why myself and Will, as a regulator, the diffuse pollution rules that we talk about quite a lot in farming around farming and Water Scotland is quite good, because there's a practical side to it. You know, if you do this, you will protect the water environment and improve water quality, but you will also get that additional benefit to your farm business. It might not be overnight, but it might be something that we have to work long term over to get those benefits, which I think the guidance helps us point in that direction, which is great. Obviously, with shows being cancelled this year and unsure what the situation will be for next year, Rebecca, Will, Alex, where do you see Farming Water Scotland sitting in maybe the short and the medium term future, and what will the resource look like when 2021 turns around?
We've had a really funny year this year. At the start of 2020, we probably reckoned we've been to over 150 agricultural shows and on-farm events, and, you know, really got into the swing of things in terms of you know, going to these different events, setting up the stand and chatting with people and what have you. We also had various different themes each year. So, you know, we started off with our alternative watering after doing a lot of trial work on the different systems. Mm-hmm. We thought, oh, great, let's share some of that information with folk at the shows. So we started off in 2016 with alternative watering and some soils information. You know, I spoke about the valuing your soils brochure. 2017, we looked at cover crops and actually had some live growing cover crops. I'm not particularly green fingered, but we managed to keep them alive through the season. But these were grown in like big Perspex tubes. Mm-hmm. So you could really sort of see the root structure and things like that and talk around these different cover crops and some of the benefits in terms of how they can help with farm soils. We've also looked at things like knapsack sprayers. We've had models of a biobed that some very talented person made as a biobed in a box. So we could actually see some of the different layers and things that would be involved in a biobed. We've been able to get some lay flat fencing to demonstrate on the stand as well. So, I mean, all through those four or five years, we've basically swapped and changed with different demonstration kit that we've had. But I think the alternative watering seems to have been a common thread and something that farmers and land managers have been really interested in and are still keen to sort of find out information about these things. Mm-hmm. But in terms of 2021, I think, well, I'm hoping we're going to be able to get back out and get back out speaking to folk and get back out onto farms. But we'll see what 2021 brings.
Certainly will. Certainly will. Will, do you want any comments on what you'd like to see delivered in 2021? You know, if we do get out on and about, or even if it's a topic that you think Farming and Water Scotland potentially could focus on. Have you got any ideas what could potentially be something we look at in the future?
Yeah, well, I'd like to think that we'll get back to some form of normality. So hopefully there'll be, you know, there should be shows back on again and we'll be able to get out there. And I think they'll be well attended because obviously farmers haven't been able to go to them this year. So I think the shows will be well attended next year. So there should be good big audiences for us to go to. What I would like us to really push now is soil health. Okay. It's something that is... there's something almost every week now in the Scottish Farmer. I read about an article about soil health, about how to get the best out of your soils. The answer is in the soils in almost every case that we're dealing with. Obviously, livestock poaching is a separate thing, but in terms of the arable areas, which is my main interest over in the southeast of Scotland, we've really got to push soil health and looking at possibly some more Valuing Your Soils workshop type events. Yeah. I take the Valuing Your Soils booklet to every farm I visit, and invariably the feedback I get from the farmers is, this is great, it's really easy to understand, it's easy to use, and getting them to think about it on their own terms. Because I think possibly for too long, farmers have seen the soil as just being, it's there, it's something that we grow our crops in. But they don't realise that it's potentially a diminishing resource.
Yeah.
And once it goes, we've all had it.
Yeah, I think we've got the ability to adapt our programme to deliver that kind of message, which is great. Alex, where would you, you got any closing thoughts on what you'd like to see in 21 or in the future, or any particular successes in the past where you've been involved in, and how it would fit into your work as a consultant in the future?
I think I would just say that, Farming and Water Scotland, in my eyes, can only become more topical as this kind of move towards increasing natural capital on a policy front increases. I think it would be great for morale, and I think it would be great for the farming community if we could get back out next year and get to some shows. I know I would certainly enjoy that. I remember, Rebecca, it might have been 2 or 3 years ago now, Farming and Water Scotland were at the Black Isle show. And I remember it was a great day. It was a really busy show, and there was a lot of engagement. But we were... and I don't know whether this was strategic or not, but we had managed to get ourselves placed next to a hot tub display stand. And I feel quite strongly that if Farming and Water Scotland had a hot tub of its own going forward, we would really get a lot of engagement.
Not if I was in it.
And also, we live in Scotland and we've got no shortage of water. And, you know, it doesn't matter where you are in the country, you are going to have some kind of issue with water at some point or another, whether that's a Southwest dairy farm that is accumulating water in their slurry store, or whether that's a farmer in the Northeast who's got problems with soil erosion. It's going to be something that you're going to have to confront at some point. And I think it's important that we do get back out there and engage with people.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, I mean, myself, I can see opportunities with this, with the talk about green recovery to the economy and that kind of stuff. I can see Farming and Water Scotland really being helping out, pointing people in the right direction and collecting that information, almost acting like a bit of a filter to, because there is so much information coming and getting levied at the farming sector and the agricultural sector that it is difficult to see exactly what you need to know sometimes. So hopefully Farming and Water Scotland will be able to help out with that, whether that is, fingers crossed, in face-to-face situations, whether that be a one-to-one farm inspection or some of the shows and events that we attend, or whether it's just through the ever-developing resources we've got online through the website and through our Twitter and our Facebook pages and that kind of stuff. So thanks very much for everybody for joining today. It's been much appreciated. I'm going to leave it with Rebecca. Hopefully you'll know the Twitter handle and the Facebook page better than me. So I'm going to hand over to Rebecca to sign off and point people in the right direction when it comes to the Facebook and the Twitter.
Yeah, thanks very much, Pete. We're obviously really keen to keep developing the materials that we have on the stands, the information that we can provide. So we're really keen to hear from farmers and land managers, you know, how can we help you? What do you need? What can we provide? You can find out more information about the Farming and Water Scotland initiative on our website at www.farmingandwaterscotland.org. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Farm Water Scott.